President Trump is asking Congress to provide more immediate aid to U.S. airlines after putting on hold negotiations for another coronavirus relief package until after the election. Since last week, airlines have already started furloughing tens of thousands of employees. Let's bring in Here and Now transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. Seth, the White House said today it will begin discussing potential standalone relief bills, including one for the airline industry. Do we know what's being talked about, and would it be enough to stop these furloughs at the airlines?
Well, President Trump indicated in his tweet that he would support the $25 billion in aid that airlines were asking for. Obviously, we don't know yet what a new deal would look like, but the deal there was that they would get all that money in exchange for not furloughing those workers for another long period of time here, just like they did the first time. So that's presumably what this deal would look like, too, if it's something like that. Airlines getting a whole lot of aid in exchange for not furloughing employees. Something short of that, they would probably take the position that it's not enough to avoid the furloughs.
Well, and it's not just furloughs. The airlines have been having to deal with a lot because of the pandemic. Checkpoint data from the Transportation Security Administration shows there hasn't been a day with a million air travelers since March. And the big U.S. airlines, United, American, Delta, and Southwest, have been relying less on routes in and out of their major hubs to make up for that. What else have they been doing to adapt?
Yeah, and for perspective, that, as you said, not a million travelers. A typical day would be somewhere between 2 and 3 million in normal times. A quiet day would be 2 million. Now a busy day is less than 1 million. Yeah, as you said, cutting flights at hubs. And this is interesting, kind of reverses a trend in recent years. A lot of airlines had sort of been retreating to their hubs, those network airlines focusing on those monster hubs like Atlanta. Now they're trying to adapt to where what little demand that there is, by which I mean leisure demand, not a lot of business travel, not a lot of conferences. But if the price is right, people still will get on a flight to Florida, leisure destinations like that. And so some of these airlines are flying point-to-point flights, overflying, as they call it, those hubs between cities where the people are originating to the places where they want to go. And we're not talking not just about the leisure airlines like Spirit that often do that kind of thing.
And what about international? United is restarting nonstop service to China with 4 weekly flights from San Francisco to Shanghai. They're also resuming flights to at least 30 international destinations in November. Is anyone going to buy tickets for those if coronavirus is still out of control?
Well, somebody will, and that's what this is about. You know, if you go back to April, it was almost literally true to say nobody wanted to fly. Now, no question, demand is far, far lower than where it was, but there's a certain level of demand. You know, there are people every day who need to travel between the U.S. and China. So if airlines are flying just a fraction of what they used to fly, even though just a fraction of the people who used to want to fly are flying, they can fill those flights. Similar to Jeremy, some people mentioned to me, you know, they've looked at Thanksgiving flights and fares are surprisingly high. People say, well, why are fares high if almost nobody wants to travel? And the answer there too is, well, yeah, I mean, there's no question Thanksgiving is going to be very quiet compared to a normal Thanksgiving. But if airlines also just fly a lot less, then supply and demand economics tells you that you can get back to where fares are surprisingly high for being in the middle of a pandemic.
Here now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. The first time I'm thinking about Thanksgiving in the pandemic, that's going to be an interesting one. Seth, thank you so much as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.